Hello, welcome to another episode of Collective Language. We're here today with my friend
Mar.
Mar, what are your pronouns, Mar?
Any pronouns,
love that. Welcome to today's episode. I'm really glad to have you there. I'm gonna share this right now because we already did an episode and the data got corrupted, so we had to do a second one right now. But yeah, we're gonna make it happen.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be back again and do this all over.
Right. yeah. Let's go. So, where are you from?
I grew up in California. Recently, I moved to New York from California. But when I was younger, like early childhood, I grew up in Mexico. So, kind of both, maybe from both.
California, Mexico, and yeah. For what I know. Actually, like, California is full of Mexican people, right?
Yeah. It's not as diverse as New York, especially like Southern California, which is where I'm from. Very, very Mexican. And like,
yeah, I have recently a friend who came from California and he said like he was expecting more Mexican people to be here too. Like,
yeah.
And he was explaining to me and I didn't know, but then it makes sense in my head. Like, yeah, of course there should be more people there because it's
right there. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And also like the type of Mexicans here are different. Just like the areas that we're from.
Have you been to Mexico?
Like recently or
like what?
Well, after growing up there, like okay. I would go back every like summer or so. I haven't been back in probably like a few years, but yeah.
Okay.
Went back to visit.
How you got to New York?
I came here for school. I went to grad school. I just recently graduated from the new school.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, the new school?
The new school, yeah.
I've been there. I once went there to record something. Like, yeah. They have an amazing recording studio.
They do, yeah. I've been in there, like, in their music hall. And yeah. They have, like, really cool rooms and auditoriums and everything. It's, yeah. It's a cool school.
It's so cool. I didn't know you graduated. That's so amazing.
Yeah, I don't even remember. Like, this summer, this last.
What is your degree, sorry?
I got a master's in anthropology and design.
Whoa, that sounds deep.
it was interesting for sure, yeah.
Was it hard for you? Like,
some aspects, yes, I will say. It was challenging. Maybe not hard, but challenging for sure.
Did you ever fail any class?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty good student. I didn't really ever fail a class. So I guess in that sense, I'm pretty privileged and like it was easy, but still kind of a challenge.
You know, I failed one class in college and it was only because I was late to every class. No, because of my grades.
They would fail you for that?
Yeah, they failed me for that. And they made me repeat that stupid class. And it was a really boring class. And it was only because I was late. Like, and it wasn't even that late, but whatever.
That's lame. That is so lame. Where did you go to school again? I think you told me before.
Full Sail in Florida.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. They have a lot of stuff and I learned a lot. It was just really expensive.
School is so expensive. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. If I was 10 years in the past, I would rethink that decision, honestly.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you like end up in Collective Focus? What was like your first time here? Because you're very involved right now.
Yeah, it's been a while. I think I've been here like a year and a half, maybe 2 years now. I don't really remember. But I came... My first event here was almost 2 years ago at the Dia de los Muertos, the like block party. And I came for, I didn't really even know about Collective Focus. I learned through Tito Romico, the partner organization. And I came because I was feeling very alone in New York. I didn't came on my own for school. Like I didn't know anybody here. I didn't have any friends or family. And like you said, the Mexican culture here is not as it's like deep or heavy as it is in California. So I was feeling kind of lost. I like missed the culture and back home. So I saw a flyer for the event and decided to come and check out Dia de los Muertos. And I think we met there at that event. Actually, I remember meeting you.
Yeah.
And I met a couple people. I heard about Collective Focus and I started coming back as a volunteer. Yeah. And I've been here since then.
Yeah. And I remember I met you and then I saw you later on in an open house and I kept thinking, I know this person, but I couldn't remember until like later on, was like, oh, it hit me. You know, it hit me when I was actually watching videos from that event. And I was like, oh,
yeah.
I met Mar that day. That's right.
I think we only met like very briefly.
Did you? So you said you came here, you heard through Tito Romico, right?
Yeah.
So you knew about them first, right?
I kind of just learned about them through that flyer. Like I saw the flyer that was put out for that event. Los Muertos. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I see.
But when I got involved, I was very interested because my like research through school and interest has always been on like migration, immigration, mobility, and like clothing. So I was very interested in what Tito Romico is doing and still am. And yeah, that kind of is how I became very involved at Collective Focus as well.
It's so beautiful what they do.
It is, yeah.
I really love it. And I really want to, for the longest time, I've been wanting to get one of their pieces. But, you know, I've been really struggling so much economically. But I swear I'm going to buy one of their pieces.
I get it, yeah.
They are so beautiful. They're gorgeous. Oh, my God.
I know. And it's like, it's really intricate. It's amazing to watch. I don't know if you've ever seen the weavers do
it. I saw a video. I can't remember. There was a festival that Tito Romico did.
Yeah.
And there was this little documentary, like 20 minutes long, where they show the process and stuff.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It is, yeah. I'm always just really amazed.
Yeah, so this is a little ad moment for Tito Romico.
Shout out, yeah. Find them on Instagram.
They really are amazing, for real. So what's your medium of art?
I kind of really struggle with this question. I don't consider myself an artist, really.
Okay.
I don't know, but I do like making things. I like being creative. I think... I see life as art, like living and existence and just being is very creative and
I love that.
And making art. I feel most creative when I'm connecting with people and like building relationships and connections and community. So really, I think that's where I see myself being an artist, perhaps.
That's so cool because that's pretty much what you've been doing here.
Yeah.
So you're like literally doing your art here. I remember one of our first conversations when we talk about eyes.
Eyes, yeah.
Yeah. And then I start saying then. And that day, as soon as I left, I saw one on the bus stop. And I was like, what the hell?
I know. I feel kind of magical sometimes. Like, you know, you just manifest things like that.
You really told me something that as soon as you told me, it started happening to me. Now I see eyes everywhere. That's crazy. I just look at here at this thing right here and it has Tony's eyes there.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
Tony was just in here a little while. Yeah? He came in. Oh, yeah. Shit, I haven't seen him in so long. Yeah.
Yeah. So when did you like choose? Well, this question's a little, because you're saying for you, art is life. So it's, it says like, when did you choose your specific medium? For art.
I mean, I also
when you
love,
were born.
Like, I guess. I mean, I also love, I do love writing and like reading as a form of art, I guess, like expressing. But I don't know. I mean, I think at a certain point, living became very intentional, right? Like being intentional with the way I lived and connected with people and like, and love and care and build community. So even within the last few years, I would say, especially since moving from New York, like I've really, because I didn't have the like comfort and safety of friends I knew and family, then I had to really create that for myself. So maybe then, around then.
I love that. When I first moved here, it was the same story for me.
Yeah.
You know, coming from Venezuela, no friends, no family.
Mm.
And I also feel really lucky when I start connecting with people at this space, because
mm-hmm.
there's a few volunteers that I could say, like, I really trust them with my life. Like, there's a lot of people that I keep connecting like often, and I like that. I don't know, most of the people that comes here kind of have my same ideals, so yeah. I really I've been like, I feel like we haven't really spent that much time together, but every time we talk I feel like we connect. Like I really like talking and hearing whatever you have to share. You have really like cool ideas and stuff. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I really feel very connected with you as well. And through Collective Focus, I've met like some of my closest friends, honestly, and
I love
York.
That.
Yeah.
For real. I wanna talk a little bit about your community involvement. How would you say you are involved in this community? Wait, sorry. Where do you live?
I live on Myrtle, not too far.
Oh, that's close.
Yeah,
that's
I live like down
a
the
few
street.
Blocks, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. How do you feel connected with this community? Like your involvement?
Yeah, I feel very part of the community. I know like a lot of the people who volunteer here just are also part of the community. And I've lived around here for the last like year and a half. I just feel very, I don't know. I just, I think I feel connected and in alignment with everyone who's been here and who I know lives close by. And I just like the aspect of mutual aid that I think I can bring and like that I feel I can take as well, right? Like it's a give and take and back and forth with people that I've met here that I know live close by that I can rely on for support, who I feel can also rely on me.
Yeah, I feel like since like I have seen you here, you over time have become way more involved with the collective. Like I see you more often in all the things we do, honestly, and I love that because you're always supporting so much.
Yeah, I'm really like, if anyone needs help, like, right, there's spaces where we feel maybe more comfortable and like we know have more experience in, but I am always up for like just lending support to anyone who needs it, whatever time kind of it comes up.
Appreciate you. Thank you. I want to talk about how did you grow up, but I also want to ask you, like, do you have any plans in the future? Like, do you want to go back to California? Did you want to maybe stay here for a little longer?
Yeah. I'm not a big like future planner.
Okay.
Like detailed future planner. I do like New York. I've liked my last few years here. It is very hard to live in New York and it's very like unsustainable.
Yeah.
So you have to be grinding all the time.
Yeah.
But I like New York. If it's possible, I would like to stay for a little longer, at least for the next like year I'll be here.
I see.
And I just I love the community and my friends and everyone. I don't think I see myself staying here like long term. I also don't know about going back to California long term, but would like to have some sort of connection still, like forever. Honestly, I feel very connected to New York and California as well.
Yeah.
But I think like Mexico, because I grew up there and I have a lot of family there, and just like I always kind of feel a call back. So potentially, I think I wouldn't count it out to return.
What part of Mexico?
I grew up in Tamaulipas. It's like northern Mexico, right under Texas.
Okay.
I really loved growing up there. It was a very particular experience, a very like special way of growing up on a farm, kind of very like rural and isolated. I would love to go back to something like that. I don't know that the same will happen, but yeah, would love to kind of create something for myself like that.
That's amazing, though. That sounds really lovely.
It was beautiful growing up. Yeah, I miss it a lot all the time.
I can't imagine. I have always lived in the city.
In the city.
Yeah, where I grew up. It wasn't, I would say, like a city, but it was like trying to be a city. It was outside of the main capital, Caracas.
Okay.
But I live in Los Teques, which is like a different, it's like half hour, 45 minutes from Caracas.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was like kind of city vibe. We have a subway. The buses are always working and stuff.
Okay, yeah.
That's why I'm so used to New York. Because I live in Florida for college and I never really settled there. Like, I was always feeling out of place there. Mm. I move a year and I feel way better. And
good, that's good. Yeah. I'm glad you found New York then.
Yeah. I feel the same way you're actually describing. Like, I feel connected with this place maybe forever.
Forever, yeah.
And I also, I don't honestly know if I want to stay here either, because mostly it doesn't even have to be with this city, but with this country.
Like, yes, actually. another reason.
Yeah. I have a lot of doubts about staying in this country.
I got beef with this country.
Right. Yeah, me too. It's like, I don't know.
I mean, not that Mexico is like truly any better, like as a nation state, but yeah. I'm just like, at this point, I'm just tired.
Yeah, no, me too. I get it for real. Like, I don't know. Coming from Venezuela, which I feel like I literally ran away from there because of the politics and everything.
I've been seeing.
And then I'm feeling the same feeling again here. It's like, When does it end? Can I go to like country that is just normal? Anyways, let's move forward here. do you think this community support wellness?
I guess it would depend on like how you would describe wellness, right? What you might think of wellness. I think in some ways, yes. I think like food distribution is a big part of wellness, of maintaining people healthy and alive. And we have a lot of like produce that we redistribute. And free resources like the clothing, stuff like that. I think there's some efforts being made for like emergency services and things of that sort, like just hygiene kind of things. But I do think that there's a big need in the community for just like even knowledge and resources around the subject.
Yeah. I completely agree. Actually, I feel like it's tough. Yeah, there are resources that are being like, especially places like this, because there are many mutual aids in the whole New York, honestly, and it's like they are all trying to kind of like fill in all these cracks that I think the government is just letting happen. And then for real, the wellness is one of the ones that is the hardest, I think, like, especially like mental health and disabled people and stuff like that. It's tough. Do you feel like your family in the past or right now, they practice wellness activities?
I think not particularly, not really. I think in the Latino community, maybe I'll speak to like my own Mexican, like immigrant community, Mexican American, like immigrant community. It's very difficult, I think, especially like my parents who didn't grow up with an education, right? And like a lot of older people in the community. Don't have maybe access to the knowledge, the same opportunities. Like it's more of a like you have to work and provide for your family and your kids. And so a lot of things go unnoticed and are left, like you said, like go through the cracks. And then like growing up in Mexico, they lived their whole lives in Mexico without even like even the word like mental health, those kinds of considerations, I think, didn't even come up. But I think in different ways, I myself have dealt with a lot growing up, and my parents, I think, did their best and they tried with the little access and resources that they did have. So I think there's always an attempt and a desire to do better. But it's just like, the access.
Yeah, no, I completely understand what you're saying. Coming from Venezuela, it's the same. Like, people there, it's like, it's not the main problem. Yeah. It's not the main worry for people. And I think sometimes it should be like, there's a lot of anxiety in people. And people don't even check on that because they think that's just life.
Just normal, right. Yeah. It's normalized a lot of the time.
Yeah, yeah. And for us, it's very weird to like go to a psychologist or try to work on your mental health. It's just, it's mostly like just feel better, keep working. That's kind of what people repeat to themselves and repeat to you. And it's like, bro, this needs more than that. You know?
Yeah, it does feel like we're breaking cycles.
I like that.
It's very important, and I think like us, or at least. Like for myself, I see it. I've learned to do it for myself. Like it's become very necessary within community, of course, like not on my own. And also bring that same care to people that I love. So like my siblings, my parents, like wherever I can extend it.
Yeah, yeah. It's good to create that awareness. Sometimes it's a little tough too because like, for example, my family, some of my brothers or my dad, they are not really like when we talk about mental health and wellness, it gets a little tough because they are in their own ways. They are very stubborn about some things. Mm-hmm. So, the conversations always get like a little long and it feels tough sometimes, but I do like to keep talking about it.
Yeah, I think I understand. Even just bringing it up, really, we'll do something.
I think it's important. I want to ask you now about, you're vegan, right?
Yeah, I am.
So do you consider you have healthy eating habits? Because I know that, my dad thinks that because people is vegan, they don't eat like trash food or like junk food. And I'm like, bro, that's not how it works.
I love a hot Cheeto. Right? I don't even know if they're vegan, but I love a hot chip. I don't know if I would say, I don't know. I honestly, like, I kind of, I think very critically about even like the word health, like what is healthy and what isn't. Because just because I'm like, you know, thinner or like not eating, I don't know, meat doesn't mean that it's necessarily healthier. Or like even like vegetables or fruit, you know, the people that think that that might be healthier. It kind of is like the way that you're eating, maybe the relationship that you have with food itself, with your body and how you're eating and the energy, right, around you and food and everything that goes into food, like the work and the labor and growing and cooking it and tasting it. And even like sharing food the way Manuela does here. So I think as I grow, I'm learning to build a healthier relationship with food and eating habits. But it is very difficult to be vegan and try and be healthy actually for me, because it's also a bit more like unsustainable just in New York. Like it's not as accessible to be vegan. Yeah, but I think I'm getting there. I'm trying.
Yeah. I feel like in my country, in Venezuela, veganism is probably one of the hardest thing to do. Like, yeah. I don't know, because there was right now it's a little better, mm-hmm. I would say. Although we're going through a complete mess up process with the Maduro right now, yeah. But in the past, like around 2017, 2018, food was so hard to get that you cannot afford to be
picky.
Yeah, exactly. People just needed to eat. And that's something Andrea always explained to me, because she's vegan as well. But she says she also understands the need to actually eat meat sometimes, because it's way cheaper.
There's like no other option sometimes.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That the access. Because for real, I do love the ground beef that is vegan. But compared to the ground beef that is from animals, the price is a big difference.
It is, yeah. A lot of the vegan food is just way more expensive.
And I love it. And I really want to keep eating it. Like when I was making money, I will always get that one. Yeah. Right now that I am struggling, I'm back to eating ground beef from animals. Mm-hmm. And I do miss the other one. I think in a way it also makes me feel better, because they pretty much taste the same, honestly, to me. Like,
yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe now that I'm starting to work again, I'll go back to it. But yeah, it's hard. I think New York, for me, has been a little better in the vegan access. Like, mm-hmm. I went vegan like 1 or 2 months.
Then Venezuela, you mean? New York is more
expensive. Yeah, and then yeah. Florida.
In Florida also?
Yeah, because I live in Florida, okay. And I don't think I saw that many options there. Yeah,
that's interesting. I mean, I'm comparing it to like California, which is, you know, especially like around the LA area, I think it's like it caters a lot to vegan kind of eating, vegan lifestyles. But I will say like eating meat for me in the US does not feel good, because I mean, you also have to consider everything that goes into like raising, you know, animals for eating purposes and everything, all the hormones and chemicals and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I remember like growing up in Mexico on a farm where we would raise our own food, our own animals and like plants and everything. That was so different. And like, I don't remember feeling the way I did here in the US eating food. And also my family, like I've seen it in my family. It just, it's so, so different.
Do you eat eggs? No, right?
I don't now. Yeah. No.
Would you consider it like coming from a farm with like cool chickens or no?
I think I might. It really is. I think veganism for me is not necessarily about like animal rights. Like it's not right. Any one specific thing. It's not even about like health. It's more like it's more sustainable for me most of the time. Because I don't do much cooking and I don't tend to buy a lot of food even. Like I'm really using resources from here.
Wow.
But I might. I'm not like the strictest of vegans. Like if food is presented to me that is not vegan, I'm not going to waste it. I won't throw food away. Like, you know, like Manuela's food as well. Like she doesn't.
But the one today was vegan, right?
Vegan, yeah. Some of it is vegan, yeah. But like if somebody cooks for me and they don't make it vegan, I won't reject the food or throw it away. So I'm not like too strict with it.
I see, I see. Thanks for sharing. Yeah.
But for myself, I will try and be vegan.
I want to ask you if you exercise. Like, do you do any kind of exercise?
I do a lot of walking. I do a lot of cardio. I love walking. Nice. It's been harder in New York, I will say. When I was in California, I did a lot of hiking. That was like my big thing. And even like biking when I was in school. There was more, it felt safer to do that in California, like the space. Yeah. And a lot more like access to hiking. Yeah. To like mountains and outdoors and right. just being outside.
Yeah.
I do like to once in a while in New York, but it's just hard to get to on train. But I like to walk around the city as well. Like I go on long, long walks.
Yeah. Have you been to Prospect Park?
I have. Yeah. I love Prospect.
Yeah, me too. I used to live one block away from it. Not anymore, but when I did, I used to go there all the time. Yeah. It was so cool.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
New York does have really cool parks, I will say.
Yeah. Yeah. I do miss when I used to live in Atlanta, though, because of all the trees and it was kind of magical there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I miss trees. I miss seeing
trees.
Me too,
yeah. You mentioned that your access to food here, like you don't get a lot of food, but you get a lot of food here, right?
Yeah.
So, like, how would you describe your food access and how, like, it affects what you create, like, or what you do with your life?
Mm-hmm. I think that my access to food definitely affects like how I'm eating, right? And how often or like what I'm eating. And then also, if I'm cooking or not, I'm not the best cook. I don't love to do it. but when I have like fresh produce that I get from here or something, like I'm more inclined to do it. I want to use it. Versus like the pre-prepared meals or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a lot better for me. Like before I was at Collective Focus, because I don't cook, it was a lot easier for me to just buy like frozen vegan food or something like that, or like eat fruit and not really, you know, it wasn't as nutritious as like
getting
fresh produce from here. Nice. Yeah, which is what I mean. I was like, I wasn't very healthy even though I was still vegan. Like it was just frozen vegan food or... Yeah, so I think it affects me in that way. And also, I guess, like, I'm eating more with food from here, so I feel more energized and I have just more life, I would say.
I'm so glad to hear that. For real. It makes me happy. I think for me right now, because I'm not coming on Tuesday, because now I have worked those days. Yeah. So... But when I was coming, I was getting food as well, and it was really helping me to go through the week. Right now, I'm getting snaps. So for the time being, that's kind of good for me. I think it might stop by November or sometime.
Mm.
But I think when I need it, I'll come back to get like a bag here because for real, it was also
big. It is. Like, it really will get you through the week, honestly, which is what I mean. Like, I don't really feel like the need to go buy food, right? Or like I'll buy like some small things, but it really, if it's getting me through the week and I, you know.
All right. You were saying you're not big on cooking. So I want to ask you, like, what's your best dish? You have like friends coming or one friend coming.
Oh my God.
And you are like... Okay, and imagine you have all the ingredients you need. Like,
well, I'm embarrassed. Like, dead ass, I don't cook at all. I have burnt pancakes. Like, I have burnt eggs.
But that's classic. Burning pancakes is a classic.
Okay, I guess.
Yeah.
Thank you. It makes me feel a little better. What would I make for friends? I'm trying to like. I don't really even make things when friends come over. Like, I'll just have easy stuff. Maybe something like tacos because it's easy and like I know it well, I guess. Yeah.
Dude, I love tacos.
Tacos are so good.
Homemade tacos taste really good too.
Yeah.
And they are so fast. Like you can make it fast and easy. It's like, it's really, really
it's easy. Yeah. You can also like put anything in tacos, right? Like like vegan, like mushroom or like cactus tacos. Yeah. Like they're really good.
Yeah, yeah. Some vegetable sauce and you're
right. Good to all go. You need is a tortilla and something to put in it, and that's a taco.
Yeah. I have had this debate about like, because from Venezuela or like arepas, like our main thing. And then I had this argument because somebody was telling me that they think tacos are better. And I was like, but you know, I get it. Because the thing is, tacos, you can cook them way faster.
Mm.
For arepas. Like, if you're in a rush, you can do tacos.
It's easy, yeah.
But if you do arepas, you're going to take a while.
Arepas are so good, though. I still remember your mom's arepas.
Oh, my God, yeah. Those, for me, my mom's...
I need them back.
My mom's are 10-10. And she's so nice because I always explain to her how many people is vegan here. And then she always implement like veganism.
I remember we had the vegan. I could eat them. Yeah, it was so nice. I love your mom and her arepas.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to visit her next month. Really excited about it.
Say hello from everyone here.
I will. She remembers everybody. I always said, you remember this person? Yeah. You remember this? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad. I'm happy for you.
Do you have any specific spiritual practices or belief?
Not too specific. I think like I grew up Catholic, like Roman Catholic, very Mexican Catholic.
Yeah.
So culturally, maybe that, but not. I'm not really like religious, I would say. I think I have a lot of like faith, but it's more like faith in the universe, perhaps in myself or in love and care, in community and relationships, in growth and learning. But yeah, I mean, I feel energy from everyone and everything, and that's very spiritual for me. I'm very open and I'm just like aware, I would say.
I feel literally exactly the same way.
That's crazy.
Yeah, because I grew up the same. Like, my whole family is very Catholic. I actually went to a Catholic school.
Wait, me too. Yeah. In Mexico, I went to Catholic school.
And I used to go to Friday. I used to go to Mass every Friday. And I even did, like, all these weird things. I don't know how to say it in English. Primera comunión.
Ah, yo también.
Sí.
El catecismo, primera comunión, bautizo, confirmación.
Yeah, todo eso. And I still didn't like, I don't know. It was not enough for me to.
I never got it.
So I feel exactly the same way. Like, I believe in the energy. I believe in the universe and love and the people around me, myself. You know?
Yeah.
It's like. And I also believe, like, if there are greater gods or whatever, as long as we as, like, persons just do well, like, we do what's good for real, and we just focus and not mess up with others, I don't know. We should just do good. That's what I think.
I agree, yeah. I feel similarly, yeah.
I love that. Let's talk a little bit about your consumption, like, regarding media and stuff like that. I can't remember if I have talked about this with you. I mean, we already did this once, but I can't really remember your answer. So what time of media do you consume? Like social media, podcasts, TV, movies, etc.?
Yeah, I do remember this question, actually. I don't consume a lot of like that kind of media. I'm on some social medias sometimes. Like I'm not on there too often. I like video essays sometimes on YouTube. But I really like reading. I read a lot and it's just like I had a lot of reading to do for school, so I kind of like stayed with that.
I bet.
Yeah. And growing up I used to love to read. It was a good way of I just like exploring other worlds, I think, reading. I love like sci-fi. And I find a lot of books here actually, so.
Dude, I just remember something. When we were doing, you remind me, like, it just clicked. The first time I asked you that question and the one that got all corrupted.
Right.
I was trying to remember this author that I wanted to suggest you.
Oh,
it's Octavia Butler. I remember
I love
now.
Octavia Butler.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing.
She's one of my favorite writers. Yeah.
Andrea is like in love with all of her books.
Yeah.
And she made me read a few of them.
Which ones did you read?
We
have some here at the
right,
library.
Right. The ones here, it was like the first, the first was, I can't remember right now the name of the book. But it has Doro on it. Have you read that one?
I don't know. I don't remember.
It was like this guy who... It's about slavery, the book. It's amazing, honestly. And this guy has this power that he can transfer to bodies and control others. Okay. And it's so crazy. This book is insane.
Her writing is really like
Wild Seed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my God. It's so good. And it's like a trilogy. I only read the first one. Andrea read the whole trilogy. Yeah. And she kind of told me, like, I kept asking, like, okay, what happened next?
You got a good synopsis.
Yeah. And here we read, forgot.
I think Parable of the Sower was one of them.
Yeah.
That's a classic.
And that's
one.
Two books, right?
There's, the one that comes after as well. I forgot that one. But yeah, also.
We read the first one only.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we are supposed to read the second one, like, I think by now, some of the people in the book club already read it. Uh-huh. I haven't even opened it, honestly. But I love the first one.
Yeah, it was
really good. I don't know. That one made me fall in love with the way she writes and how she sees things also, because these books were written long ago and it's like, wow, it's so amazing.
Uh-huh.
That one in particular made me feel like I really need to prepare. And I feel good about doing all this surgeries and stuff.
Yeah, you're getting
ready. Because if something happens, we just want to be ready.
You never know, honestly. Yeah. I'm always like, that's always in the back of my mind. Yeah. I'm like, I also, you know, maybe we should start exercising, training together. I'm like, I need to be fit. Yeah.
You know, Andrea and I, we have this thing that if ever anything happen, and let's say, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's very like sci-fi, but we lose phone service, electricity or whatever.
That's totally possible.
Our point to meet is the hub.
The hub?
Yeah.
I'm meeting y'all here.
Yeah, that's why we planned the other day, like, okay, yeah, let's meet at the hub. That's our place.
This is a good pinpoint, I think. And they'll probably be, I mean, we already have so much community here that it's like we can all gather together and just in support of one another.
Create our own country here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you feel this media affects you in your life?
Consuming this media.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of the reading that I do is also like, I read a lot of sci-fi or like, fiction. I like fiction. It's very speculative. It's very like thought provoking, I would say. And like future oriented. So it helps me to imagine a future outside of the reality that we live in, like a possible future, right? Even if it feels like we're trapped in this kind of social structure and there's no way out or it's impossible. I think reading authors like Octavia Butler or like Afrofuturism or like I really like Ursula K. Le Guin. She's also a really old writer, but writes sci-fi. I think it allows me to see the world in very many different ways. But I'm also like when I'm on like Instagram or TikTok, you know, it's also a good way to keep updated with the world. I think like even maybe more so than the news, I would say, right? Like I'll read articles and stuff like that. But I think on social media, I get a lot of information faster. And it's sometimes it's like first person, right? Like these people are really living what they're talking about. So it feels more genuine, authentic, and real.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel to me are a very genuine person, like completely authentic.
Yeah.
I feel like when we talk, the way you are is the way you are. I don't know how to explain it. It's like I have known many people that for many different reasons, maybe they are shy or they are like, but they can't really be themselves sometimes, you know. But you are always yourself. And I really appreciate that.
I appreciate hearing that. I do try. Thank you.
Yeah. So you think like, what do you think about positive and negative of consumption of media?
I think, there's definitely arguments for both. I think it can go both ways depending on maybe what you're consuming and like how often, maybe how early you start, right? Like children have access to like just unlimited access to all sorts of information and video and whatnot to see. And you can go kind of to extreme like pipelines, right? Like it's concerning to see, and I've seen it maybe happen in like some of my like younger family members, right? They become, it's easy for people to become like very radicalized in a scary kind of way. But I think in the same way it's also easy to unlearn a lot of those like almost things that we're taught are essential or like natural. So I really do think that if we just have like more awareness around its effects, and then it can be very beneficial and then positive.
Yeah, it's definitely there are ways to for it to be more of a tool than than a burden. But honestly, there's like also like I feel there is this dark world behind the internet where, you know, companies, they are just trying, you're just trying for you to like consume their content.
Right.
They always try to make it more addictive, or, you know, they push also like for the industry to be like that. They want influencers to do this or that.
Because just
it's a whole thing for real.
Yeah. Even like music. I mean, I'm sure you know, right? Like music is just becoming very like influential. Or like TikTok Central, I don't even know.
Yeah, no, that's honestly like these times, and it's been so fast, the change, because I grew up in the 90s, and it's like I was a kid by then, but I do remember how things have changed in this past 20 years, and it's so different. Like, I just remember sitting down with my cousins, listening to CDs and stuff. And who listened to CDs today? Like, only collectionists or people like that. Like, nobody. Streaming service changed everything, and that industry is also like, I don't really agree with it. I don't actually have Spotify.
Oh, yeah. That's very radical.
I do use Android Spotify.
That is a good way to be like, I'm different. That's funny, yeah. But I mean, then it's. At least you're not like paying for another service, you know, and then like they have. I mean, another thing I feel with like media and these sorts of things is like they are not only are companies using it to like market and brand and sell products, but like I myself become complacent with even like listening, right? Or like liking something that's already like implicated in it. Even me viewing something, like me looking at an ad is like, I'm the product as well. I don't know if that makes sense, but
I feel you. I with music is like, it's right now it's all about it really is all about money. I guess with a lot of artists it feels like that, but it's I don't know, the industry is very like you gotta have money, or you have to be always thinking and getting money if you want to make it as a musician, you know?
It's like, so it's very sad because I mean, I love a lot of like smaller artists. They're making beautiful music, but it's really hard.
That's why I love Bandcamp. And, you know, for years, Bandcamp had their app, but you couldn't listen music on it. And in the past few years, they updated that. So now you can listen music on the Bandcamp app.
I didn't know that.
Okay. Yeah, and they have a really cool interface if you create your profile. So their algorithm is really cool. But they also have like the best music of this month according to like some of the people that work there. And they always compile really cool, different genres.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love it. I really, because Andrea, a lot of times when I use Spotify, Andrea's using her Spotify. So I don't touch it, but I go to Bandcamp and I find there's a lot of big artists too that they put their music on Bandcamp still. Yeah. And I love that. Well, I say big, but they are big for me, but they are not like pop. Bit.
It's not like Taylor Swift.
Right, exactly. She's not gonna
put her that's like number one, like money hungry artist on Spotify. Cool. Thank you for putting me on. I'll definitely like check it out. I'm always looking for like new artists. I love new music, just all genres of music. Like I love dancing and hearing music, singing along. So,
dude, me too. Like, it has saved my life. I always say that about music. And that's why I do it.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm glad you keep doing it. You're still doing it. Yeah. Stay persistent with it.
It became my life, I feel like, for real. Mm. I want to ask you the last questions, which are the million-dollar questions.
I'm ready. We need a drum roll.
Yeah. So these questions we ask to all the people that come to the podcast.
Okay.
These are always the last questions.
Yeah.
And the first one is, they are all kind of similar, but the first one is, can you create better income for or in a struggle?
So what was that one more time? Let me try to understand.
Can you create better income for or in a struggle?
Income for and struggle. I think in struggle. Yeah. I don't like to be comfortable. too often. I like to challenge myself. I like to be in discomfort sometimes. Yeah.
I agree with that. And it's, you know, it's so interesting because I have asked this question many times and there's always different answers.
Mm-hmm.
It's either one or the other, but I feel like I also feel myself that I create better in the struggle, but also I feel that way because I feel like I always been in struggling.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's
same.
Like, yeah. And it's like, I mean, I definitely have had times in my life when I was in comfort. And it's funny because sometimes you don't know you're in comfort too. Like, But I definitely feel like the best things I have done is when I have been in my struggles, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like pressure helps me a lot.
Yeah, me too. And it might be, you know, because that's what we're used to and that's what we know and know how to like work under it, which is sad. It's difficult. Sad. Yeah, it is. But maybe one day we'll be comfortable enough to like still be able to feel safe and creative in that kind of space. You
know? Let's see how that works.
I'm going to manifest that for us. Yeah. Both.
Something. And I hope what it comes out of is going to be good.
Yeah.
So couch hoping versus queen size bed.
Couch surfing, queen size bed. I think it depends. I have done my like fair share of like couch surfing-ish style traveling, like hostel, you know, like bummy hostel or like staying in people's living rooms, like people I'll just met randomly while I'm traveling. But I think maybe if I'm like home, of course, like I like being comfortable in a cozy in bed. So either or.
Yeah. I love when I have asked this question sometimes and people first second they don't even think about it, queen size bed. It's like wow. I'm like yeah, you know what you want.
Good. Yeah, people, I'm glad that people have like you know,
but I do feel things. The same way you're talking, like because me also I have done that before. Like I have there was this, I mentioned this a lot actually here, but this was this little period of my life where I actually was kind of homeless for like a month and I just crashed in like three friends' places for the whole month.
And I've done that before too. Yeah.
And I don't know. I feel like it depends in what situation you are. Of course, I prefer the bed. But if you have to do the couch hopping, I'll do it too.
Right. And sometimes it's fun. Like you know, you learn a lot.
It was actually fun.
Meet people.
I had a good time.
Yeah.
When I think about it, I really had a good time actually. Yeah.
Right.
Low budget versus large budget.
Ooh. I think this one also depends. I mean, I would love a large budget for, you know, for like big events or you just to have resources for redistribution even, you know. But I'm not a big spender, I would say. I don't like participating in like capitalist culture. I mean, you can't escape it and it's like, you know, complicit anyways. But I'm not a big consumer of things. So we can also go both ways. I don't want to be, I keep being like wishy-washy in these, but I feel like I can see like very many different points of views.
I love you're flexible.
Yeah.
You know,
you
could adapt. For me, whenever I ask this question, I always think the same thing, which is like, I have never had a large budget.
A large budget. Yeah. Same, to be honest.
Like, what does
what
that
would
even
that look like?
Yeah, right? Like, it's a completely unknown world to me, but maybe one day I'll experience that. And it will be fun. I don't know. I know how to work my way around with the low budget.
Could be cool.
And I think that's a cool skill too.
And you've done well too. Yeah. I've seen it. Yeah.
Okay. We're actually done with this. Yeah. But I have like two more things that I want to ask you before you go.
Sure.
So our closing questions. Is there anything you will tell to your younger self?
Anything I would tell my younger self? I think I would tell my younger self that they are loved. That they are love, actually.
I love when people say that. And you know, this is not the first time I get that answer.
It's not the first time?
No.
No.
That's what I love when people...
That's beautiful.
Because we are all like, we love ourselves. You know what? You're loved.
Like, it's okay.
Yeah, it's
you'll
okay.
Be loved.
It's okay.
Yeah.
And do you have anyone that you want to shout out right now?
I'm gonna shout out my younger self for getting
me
here.
Wow, love that. Love that. We keep the conversation going.
Right.
Love you and
that's
so cool. You are amazing.
And here we are.
Yeah.
We're still going.
Thank you so much
Thank you.
Before we go, I want to say this is going to have a little video so people is going to see it, but I love your sweater.
Thank you.
Where did you get that?
Appreciate it. I got it here, actually.
At the hub?
At the hub. Isn't it sick? These pants, too. I'm fitted out because of the hub.
Yeah, I love the colors because it's the colors of Venezuelan flags, too.
Oh, no way. Yeah. I didn't even notice.
And it's also primary colors, right?
It is, yellow, blue, this is really cool. It's a cool sweater. I like it.
Thank you so much for being here today,
Thank
Mara.
You.
Appreciate your time.
Of course.
Appreciate sharing everything. This time for sure is working. It's going to come out. Yeah.
Lots of love.
Yeah. And thank you for listening out there. We appreciate you. There are more episodes coming. We love you. Bye-bye.
Lots of love.
Lots of love.
Awesome. LOL. Lots of love. Come some later.